My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. This is where we talk to people of special interest in the United Church of God, and sometimes we talk to people who cross paths with us. Our guest today is one of the most remarkable people that I know, and I really mean that. His name is Robin Weber. He's a longtime minister of more than 40 years. I've known him, I believe, most of that time. Robin and his wife Susan love God and courageously serve him. The reason I have him on today is because I was listening to a sermon that he had given in late July 2020. It was, I believe, his farewell sermon to congregations that now have a new pastor. He was saying goodbye to them. Even though Robin isn't moving anywhere, he will no longer be their direct pastor. Robin was a pastor of five congregations in Southern California. He turned over Los Angeles and Bakersfield to a new pastor, and now he's left with San Diego, Redlands, and Las Vegas to care for. So welcome to Inside United, Robin.
Well, thank you, Victor, and thanks for having me on today. It's really a pleasure and an honor, and to some of the things that you've mentioned, we've traveled a lot of life together, haven't we?
We sure have, and we've gone through ups and downs, and it's really nice when both of you can end up right side up. I mean, we've gone through some extremely difficult times in our spiritual journey and in even our physical journey, but Robin has remained a friend. Anyway, I'd like you to talk about this sermon, which you entitled, at least that's what it was titled, How to Be at Peace in Times of Trouble, which kind of goes along with what we've been talking about here in the intro. How to Be at Peace in Times of Trouble. What made you give this sermon, and how did you come to the points that you so passionately delivered?
And the thing that I went to was just simply Jesus. When he reintroduced himself to his followers after his resurrection, and he met with him that night, his followers that had met him for years and knew his teachings, and yet they are behind closed doors. They are wondering what's next. Their rabbi, their leader, their guide had just been crucified. They thought that they were next. Their whole world had closed down to that little upper room in Jerusalem, and it's amazing that Jesus came through the walls. He penetrated not only physical walls, but he came to penetrate the walls of their heart and to give them a gift and to give them encouragement. The first thing that he said to his followers in that upper room, and he said, "Peace be to you." The first words out of his lips.
And that's very, very encouraging, because Jesus didn't come with a sermon and a treatise about, you know, some doctrinal thing. He gave them what they immediately needed. They were frightened. Their master was killed. They weren't sure where it was all going. And the first thing he said, relax, peace be to you.
What he was actually sharing was a gift. It's a gift. He was sharing this gift, and he's saying, I'm not giving it to you, then taking it back. Peace be with you. It becomes not only a gift, but it becomes a matter of stewardship on our part to be able to get through the tough times. And it's kind of interesting. He not only started off with that greeting, but when he left them that night, he said, peace be with you. And that's how God, through Christ, enters our world. He says, I bring you something that the world can't bring, peace. Victor, all of us like to live lives that are nice and tidy and neat and well-ordered, without any bumps, without any dips, without any curves. But that's not really what life is about. This year, 2020, has been unique. We still have months ahead of us, and I think if where you live in Ohio and where we live in California, and frankly, all around the world, people are kind of sometimes wondering, what's next? I know when we think of what we've gone through just this one year with the COVID virus, with the economic downturn, with the cultural and social revolutions that are not only occurring in America, but occurring around this world. If, you know, so often as Americans, we look at just what's happening in America, but there's a lot of tumult. And so all of a sudden, people's lives that seemingly were nice and tidy and neat are all ruffled. And we're in the midst of a great storm that we just don't simply know when it's going to end. And so that's kind of where the basis of this was. You know, you and I as ministers, when we're teaching or preaching, it's not just talking to others. We're kind of finding the answers ourselves and going back to basics, going back to foundation. There's an anchor to get us through the storms of life. And sometimes we have to rediscover, even we that are on this walk of faith, wherever we are, whoever we are, what is the rock? We call Jesus the rock. He is the rock. But sometimes we have to find ourselves getting landed back on that rock and discover what he was doing.
Well, I know we have to find something to hang on to. So many people right now are kind of just wandering and just looking for something to grasp to, looking for some security. And I think that all of us, even those who are faithful, question and have little doubts appear, even though we're to snuff out those darts that affect our mind, but to find mm-hmm. the answers and know that we can find an answer, because for so many people, Robin, there is no answer. It's just hoping that you can sleep it off and it'll be better the next day. And with us, we have assurance that we have something that we will be able to hang on to.
What happens if we can get locked into the present? We can become paralyzed by our fears, by our doubts.
Yeah, and I would like to share some very definite points that we could cover, that we could walk away from and say, okay, this is what I will do next. And next, you actually had 4 points in your sermon, but let's talk about them.
Let's make it simple. This is not rocket science, but it is challenging because it's going right up against our human nature. This is from above, and we can do it by God's grace, by his Spirit, and following the example of Jesus Christ. So, number one. God wants us to develop the spiritual muscle of being still. The key word there is to be still. And let me talk about this a little bit, if I could, Victor.
Sure.
It's interesting that in Psalm 46 and verse 10, it is there that God gives us instruction through the psalmist. And, you know, the psalmist was David. And this was a guy who was a lot of his life on the run, wasn't he? He was in a valley with a giant, alone, but not alone, as we know the rest of the story. We know he was dodging spears from King Saul, throwing spears at him. We know that he was on the run with his merry band of men and going back and forth through the hills of Judea. But the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still." Now, with everything that's going on, economic downturns, virus, cultural, social unrest, put that on top of our own personal lives, individual challenges, challenges in marriage, challenges in child rearing, challenges on the job, challenges with our neighbors, on and on and on. And you hear this instruction, be still and know that I am God. It's like, what? But that's exactly the beginning of God beginning to be able to help us, and where we can begin to develop to work with that gift of peace.
Be still. Stop, look, and listen.
And that's exactly what we're going through right now, Victor, because every day we have intersections of life that we have to cross with God's help. You know, it's easy to be at peace when everything is peaceful, but the peace that God promised and the peace that Jesus is talking about is when nothing is peaceful, and yet we remember shalom. We remember that Jesus said, "My peace I give to you."
And you know, Robin, that is such a very, very good point. The number one thing that we have, one of the big questions and big needs that people are expressing right now, is relief from anxiety. Right now, the number one, I would say, issue right now with people is anxiety. They just feel anxious. They just feel on edge. And even the smallest things set them off. And this is such helpful advice. And I'm a person who does get very, very anxious. I get very, very anxious. But then I quickly go back to my history, to the many wonderful ways that God has delivered, and I find that there are answers.
The second point is simply this. We need to develop the spiritual muscle of solitude in heart and in mind and in presence. We live in a society that brings so much to us, but it has also complicated our lives. There is so much coming at us today that previous generations did not have to confront. Now, we're about the same age, so we can talk. We're baby boomers, even though we don't look like babies anymore. we're grandparents. But that our world that we grew up was very simple. Our world was basically Sunbeam toasters, Howdy Doody, Leave It to Beaver, My Three Sons. There were three television networks. Today, we have everything coming at us. You get on some people's televisions, and there's 500 different stations coming at you, the choices. I used to like to go fill up my car at the service station. I think you still call it service station, even though you're serving yourself. But you go to fill it up, and all of a sudden, now there's television. There's news. There's weather. The fuel tank is talking to you. You can't get away from the noise. You can't get away from the interruptions.
Well, my wife and I have developed some rituals here during the COVID time because I've been home a lot. I feel like I'm with people all the time, but I'm not. You know, I'm on the telephone. I'm like, I'm with you, Robin, right now. I feel like I'm just visiting with you. You're in Los Angeles area, and I'm here in Cincinnati. But what we have developed is that every day, well, first of all, we start the day. You know, she reads some things from a devotional book, and we also read some Bible verses as well. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we have a Swedish custom. It's called a fika, and that's where cookies and coffee appear. In the whole country, I guess, in all of Sweden, because when I've been to Sweden, I've seen it happen. Everybody stops, and cookies and coffee come out, and people just sit and just talk to one another. My wife and I enjoy that time. It's usually about 20 minutes to half an hour where we just talk, and actually you let things be able to come off of your soul, and you kind of relax away from all the being bombarded with all the media that we have. It used to be that there was no communication because there was no media. Now there's no communication because there's too much media. You don't know what to believe, what to look at, and being tugged and pulled in here, where you say, I want to get away. Let me out of this jungle of communication.
Right. You know, it's interesting what you, and I'll be over this afternoon. I'm flying in to have the Swedish goodies, okay? but you raise a point, Victor, that we live in the most interconnected society that it's ever been, but it's also left us disconnected from God. Mm-hmm. And when we're disconnected from God, we're also disconnected from people. Because it's only when we are at peace with God through Christ that we can be at peace with one another.
I think this is so important. To me, this is one of the most of these points here. They're all important, but I find this to be very, very meaningful because I have so many things that I'm working on at the same time that everything is all jumbled up. In fact, this even gets to be hard to pray. It isn't that you don't want to pray or that you don't want to talk to God, but this thought comes to your mind, that thought comes to your mind, and you can't just turn your mind off. With all the busy things that we have, it's easy to put God, who we cannot see, into the background and further into the background and just deal with those minutiae things that are right in front of us. Let's move on to point number three about developing this third muscle of abiding faith in God. Explain that, please.
People of faith everywhere are in a world that is becoming faithless. We live in a world that unfortunately no longer teaches absolutes. We live in a world where, well, that's your narrative. This word of narrative is kind of in the parlance of today. Well, that's your narrative. And or, well, that is your truth. When you believe in a all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing, all-loving, all-present God, who is not merely a first cause, that created life wound up the world like a top and then left, but is actually sovereign and is involved, is to recognize that there are absolutes and to recognize that we've come to a post-Christian world where there's no more morals, there's no more absolutes. This is my truth. This is my narrative. I'm doing my thing. Victor, we've got problems in that kind of a world.
And we have to live in that world. We have to cope with that world.
But we have been called to the peace of God, mm-hmm. and that there are absolutes. In Isaiah 46, 9 through 10, the prophet says that, you know, that the God that he serves and the God that we have been called to serve, it says that he declares the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And then he makes this big exclamation point at the end of all those scriptures, and he says, I will do it. And when we base our lives on absolutes and have that abiding faith, abiding, not just faith, not fickle faith, and think about it, when Jesus was on that altar of Golgotha, that sacrifice, the second to the last words that he said was, I commit my spirit into your hands. He had abiding faith, even as he was nailed to wood, bleeding, dying. He looked beyond the moment. He was in a wilderness experience, even as people were gawking and mocking him. He was in solitude with his Father. And number three, then there was that abiding faith that could not be shaken, that as he had nails in his hands, and as people were mocking him, he was alone, that presence of abiding faith. And he was knowing that his Father was going to ultimately welcome him and bring him back to be exalted at his right side.
I find these words to be so, so comforting and so helpful at this time, because we've gone through national trauma here in the last 6-7 months. I mean, month after month goes by, and feeling a little bit of the pinch, but having some of these instructions can help fortify us for what's coming up ahead. Okay, now let's move on to the fourth point about developing spiritual muscle. What is it? It's the big one that's got more action to it.
Everything that I mentioned up to this point of developing these spiritual muscles, of being still, of being in solitude, of creating, of carving out that wilderness experience. I'm not talking about 40 years or 40 days, but to stop the pace of life and commune with God. And then this abiding faith leads to this point. It's kind of interesting when you go to Exodus 14. That's why I have to keep on reading the Bible, because it just adds more. The first thing that God said to Moses was, tell the children to stand still, right? To stand still. And the next line is this. It's like, well, now that you've stood still, what are you waiting for? Tell the people to go forward, to get to moving. And that is the great encouragement that as a servant of God, and as you are a servant of God, that we need to kind of help our people to understand that there's a time to be still and there's a time to move. And that's a part of life. God wants us to get into that spiritual huddle with him of being still, of being alone, of voluntarily going into that wilderness, that gymnasium of the spirit where we exercise his spirit and faith in him. But he never kept his people in the wilderness, Vic. The wilderness is but a respite. It is the wilderness that then allows us to come back into community, come back into life, come back into our families, come back into our congregations, come back into our workplace, come back into our schools, if we're young people, to share and to allow people to understand that there's something different about us, that there's a peace that passeth understanding that others don't have and that we would not have, but by the grace and by the gift of God.
You know, the thing I find about the way you organized this message here is that before you get to moving, you don't just do a knee jerk. You go through a very thoughtful process of, first of all, being still, you know, then the muscle of solitude, and then faith in God. All necessary before you move forward. I think that is so important.
God is creating those that are made in his image and giving us by his grace. Not because we even deserve it. It's nothing that we can earn. It's because of God's great love. But he always gives his people of old, whether in the old covenant or the new covenant, he gives us assignments to do our part. He does what only he can do, but he asks us to do what we can do as we listen to him. But minimally, I believe what we've experienced this year is a warm-up. God is not creating trinkets. He's creating jewels. That's what the Bible says. And diamonds are made under pressure. And I always remember that verse in Jeremiah 12, verse 5, that here's Jeremiah in around 600 BC saying, hey, look, if you can't run with the footmen, how do you ever think that you're going to run with the horses? We are in training. And God, by his grace and by his design, he's allowing the saints of God to prepare for that which is coming next, Victor.
Robin, these words today from you were so reassuring and couldn't be more apropos for the period of time that we're in. We're 6 months into COVID. We're still not out of it. We still don't know whether it'll take a turn for the worse, but we're prepared for it. But we're hopeful that things will just come to being wonderful again. But I think that that's probably dreaming. But your words were very reassuring from the time I heard this in the message, which was your farewell to the Los Angeles people to keep them at peace, but also a message that has kept me going this week. And I'm so glad that we could make this podcast. I mean, it was just really great, Robin, to talk about those points. So be sure to listen to this sermon. You can find it on ucg.org/sermons under Robin Weber, and we will post the link for it on the website. So thank you for joining us on Inside United today. Please be sure to tell your friends about our podcast. You can find us on the ucg.org homepage. Go to the top menu button and click or tap on the podcast button. Very easy to find us, and you will see all the podcasts from the most recent, going back to the very first one. Also, you can find us on your favorite podcasting app on iOS, Apple, or Android. Be sure to write to us with any questions. If you'd like to ask something of Robin Weber, write to us at podcast@ucg.org. So thank you for joining us. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.